You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Thank you so much. Just a beautiful snapshot, right? Just a snapshot. These are just a few of our incredible leaders here at Makers. And, you know, this morning we're going to look back and look forward. We've already seen and heard just a few stories and pieces of our past 100 years, and we're going to hear a lot about our vision moving forward. And if it isn't evident yet, our vision and our future is really God at work in the lives of the people in our church, waking people up to their own callings and their giftings and their talents. And our church has a long history, 100 years of history, of people being faithful and obedient to the call of Christ. And that's what we want to celebrate this morning. You know, I only have a few moments to really share a bit of my heart around what this might look like for us. And, you know, as I was even just watching that film, you know, it would be easy to be prideful about something I built. You know, if you build something and you work really hard for it, and you get to look at it and kind of stand back and go, oh man, that thing's really cool. That would be an easy opportunity for pride to leak in. But I love the story that God has been weaving together in the life of our church, because I didn't build any of this. I can't look back and say, look at the thing I built. It's nothing that happened in my power as a person or as a leader or as a pastor. And that all that does is leaves room for just absolute humility. It just humbles you to look back and say, God, how in the world could you invite me into a story like this? And that's my hope, that you leave this morning with that same kind of sentiment. God, how could you trust me to be part of a story like this? Because as beautiful as these vision statements are that these leaders are bringing forward, as wonderful and amazing as the people you get to see that have been platformed this morning, you are as equally as important in the story of God. You are as equally important in what God is up to in the world. And I know some of you are just coming back. This is a reunion. And so I don't want you to just get caught up in feeling like you have to be part of what Makers is doing, because God is doing so much more than what he's doing through Makers in the world. He's working through the global church, and we're just a small part of it. But for those of us who get to call this place home, man, we have been entrusted with so much. And I just love, as I look around, just the different intersections of stories of each and every one of you that have been part of our story or are still part of our story. Or maybe I met some first-time folks this morning. Welcome to our history and to our future. It's just so beautiful. For those of you that don't know the story, I just want to kind of give a quick recap. Because I have been getting some kind of flack from my friends. They're like, come on, bro, that's a bold move. Makers Church, 100 years. I know when you started, it was 2010, you know? And, like, the amount of, like, navigating I've been having to do around that story, it doesn't make sense. And so it's hard to explain. So for those of you that are not familiar with the story, God began a work in North Park 100 years ago. In 1923, God began working through the life of some incredible faithful people to build North Park Baptist Church. And that is what we're celebrating today. But along the way, back in 2019, our small and younger church, what formerly Mosaic San Diego, then Makers Church, got grafted into this family, into this history. And in 2019, God brought these two distinct stories together, these two distinct communities together. And we didn't just merge in 2019. We've been merging ever since. We've two become one in a lot of really beautiful ways and maybe painful ways. And Stephanie says, just come and watch the show, right? And it's just been this really incredible and really challenging process as God has brought these two families together into one. But he's brought our histories together. He's brought our stories together, our victories and our pains. And he's interwoven them. He's brought them together in this unbelievable story that we get to participate in and be a part of. It's incredibly humbling. And as we talk about vision, I know sometimes it's challenging to go, where do you get vision? Like, how does vision come from? I know maybe some of you, even in your own lives, you struggle with, like, how would I have a vision for my life? And you can hear these leaders up here speak these beautifully crafted visions. And you might be going, I want to know how to do that. You know, one of the recipes I like to use to get clarity on vision is to understand the gap or the distance between what currently is and what should be. What currently is and what should be. And as you start to wrestle with and understand that, you'll know that you'll start bumping into all sorts of could-be's. And oftentimes the could-be's can derail you from the should-be's. And there's so many limitless opportunities, even as we dream about our future as a church. And as we had to discern and kind of think through what would it mean for us to carry on this torch, to carry on this legacy, and what shape would that take? How would it form? But we had to deal with a lot of could-be's that came across, a lot of ideas that came across, but we ultimately ended up landing on some really clear should-be's. And over the last several years, that has kind of taken on this saying that you hear around this church a lot, which is that we're going to be here for good. And that's our 100-year vision as we kind of stand on the gap of 100 years of history and 100 years of future. How can we summarize? How can we capture all the things we feel like God is calling us to do? And through a lot of discernment, a lot of prayer, a lot of conversation, it's really gelled and forged into this idea that we long to be here for good. And it's been so neat to hear it even become part of a lot of our folks' kind of language and nomenclature as they point at and as they even evaluate decisions that we're making and might even poke at it. We have a board and an elder team and a staff that will hold you to a vision you put out there. And, you know, and it's a great thing to draw us back and focus us in on what is God calling us to do. And this year for good vision, it's not a year of vision, it's not a 10-year vision, it's a 100-year vision for us. So I just want to take a moment to kind of recap for some of you or tell you for the first time what we think that means for us to be here for good. It really has a double meaning. In one sense, it simply means permanent. It means permanency. It means that we have staying power on this block, in this neighborhood, and that we are rooted here. And the reality is we didn't have to do that. There was a bunch of could-be's. We could have sold everything and moved to some other place in town. We could have sensed God calling us into some other thing, but what we sensed God calling us to was to be here on this block, in this neighborhood, for the next 100 years. And for some of you, that would make a lot of sense. Especially for those of you, Nancy Dewar, who've been in our church for a very long time. We're going to celebrate that in a moment. But for those of us who kind of came from the maker side of things, like, you were used to just bebopping around town at different venues and, you know, and being permanent anywhere was really not a part of our story. And so for us to be permanent, to have a home, to be rooted somewhere, man, that's a declaration that requires some activation and some participation from us in ways that maybe we weren't used to. It's easy when things get hard to go somewhere else. It's really hard to stay. And so for us, here for good means that we're going to have staying power in this neighborhood, on this block, that we're going to be committed to the people of this community. Also, in the middle of that statement, here for good also is this word for. And for us, that's taken on a lot of meaning as we really want to be known more what we're for instead of what we're against. It's really easy, especially in this culture with social media and all the megaphones that we can carry, to amplify all the things that we're against. But we thought, you know, what Jesus did is he really stood in the gap and he was very clear about who he was for. And Jesus came for all of us who were broken and hurting. He came for the marginalized. He came for the folks that were on the outside. And we want to be known for that. And ultimately, to be here for good means that we want to do good. That we want to be a beacon of hope in the neighborhood. That we want our community and our neighbors to know. Lauren gave this haunting question a few years ago as we were kind of breaking down what would this mean for us. And she said, I want to be able to say that our neighbors would notice if we left. Like, what if we left? Would anyone notice? And we would want to leave a hole. We would want there to be a chasm in this neighborhood if we ceased to be here on this block. We want to be here for good. We want to do good in the neighborhood. And I think all of this was birthed out of what we would call this our vision. This was all birthed out of our mission as a church. And I just want to remind many of you of that this morning. Our mission is to make on earth as it is in heaven. Our mission is to make on earth as it is in heaven. And I know that that can sound really ethereal and that can sound really out there. But really the way we mean it here is it's not ethereal, it's very practical. When Jesus taught us how to pray, Jesus said, Lord, would your kingdom come, would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the way we understand heaven around here is that it's not just a then and there, it's a here and now. That God is, there's an end breaking of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that his kingdom is already but not yet. It's here and it's still coming. He's inviting us to participate with him, to bring about heaven on earth. And what does that look like for us? What does that mean? And that even drags us back to our name as a church, Makers Church. Why would we be called that? I get asked that a lot. And it quite simply means that we believe that God is the maker of all things, that he made us in his image and likeness, and so therefore we are made to make. Make what? Make earth. Make on earth as it is in heaven. And that means all sorts of things in terms of ways that we make. We are disciple makers. We are difference makers. We are peacemakers. We make things better. We make a way. We work together to bring about the good of God on this earth. We've all been gifted and entrusted with many different talents and passions. And he's brought us together to do that in unity. And we really do believe that God has called us most importantly to help make beautiful the things that have been broken.
Amen.
To help make beautiful the things that have been broken. We have plans to do that with this old building. And we're going to renovate this building, and there's a lot of stuff underway, and it's becoming imminent and closer than it has been. I know we've been saying that for years, but trust me, it's coming. And I think that will really serve as a beautiful metaphor of the kind of impact of work that we want to have, not as a building, but as the body in the neighborhood, to make beautiful the things that are broken. And that's the work that we want to be up to, the work that we want to tend to as a community. We want to be a place where we can bring hope to the hopeless, where we can bring love to those who have failed to experience love in a long time, to bring faith to those who have lost it or have never had it. We want to understand our context and our proximity. We sit at the intersection of poverty and of wealth. North Park is this very diverse neighborhood with all sorts of different cultural backgrounds and socioeconomic standings. It's a beautiful neighborhood that is so diverse, and we as a church are committed to reflecting that diversity in our church, to celebrating it, and to bringing about unity in a way that would bring change in the lives of individuals, the neighborhood, and our city at large. And over the last 100 years together, we've seen lives changed and hope found and faith pursued and love demonstrated. And God is truly working out a masterpiece. And the best news is he's not finished with us yet. That there's more of that good work for us to do. Luke 12:48 says, to whom much is given, much is required. And church, we have been given so much. We've been given so much. And all of that vision and all of those words will be nothing if this doesn't get rooted in your heart as individuals and in us as a community. We've said for a long time, and we're not shy about it, our greatest hope is that our mission as a church, which is the mission of Jesus, would become the mission of your life. That it would become the defining mission of your life. To live for Jesus, to be shaped by him, to him, to be loved like he loves. Because only then will we actually be the church. And you know, the beautiful thing is there's a lot of fun and hope and excitement around what could happen on this block with this building. We have wonderful plans that are in the works, and this is going to get a refreshed look, and the infrastructure will work, and there will be air conditioning. We can celebrate that. There will be elevators and ADA accessibility and all of the wonderful things that would make this building a welcoming and inviting place for people to experience God, to celebrate things. We want to be a beacon of hope. We want to be a source of creativity. We want to be an inspiration to the community in the way that we model our church and the way that we do co-working and childcare and coffee and events and all of these fun things. But as exciting as all of that is, the good news is that God doesn't reside in buildings. He doesn't reside in buildings. I want to end with just a few reflections on these scriptures. See, our mission statement says that we, to make on earth as it is in heaven, by developing and commissioning followers of Jesus Christ to love God and love others. And we see this here in John 2:19. Jesus is being tempted in the desert, and he's saying, the devil's tempting him with these things, and Jesus says this. He says, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And yes, that means that he was talking about his sudden and nearly coming death and resurrection. He was also talking about his body, the church, his children. That God would be building something through a people, not through a place. We see this, that God, his spirit, his goodness, his presence, it resides not in buildings built by human hands, but in human hearts. We see this in Acts 17. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples or 100-year-old buildings or renovated buildings by human hands.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 2:3, it says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And lastly, we see this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? And the good news is that God is doing a work not in this building, but in this body.
Yeah.
And this is the most beautiful thing that we can celebrate. And our hope is that you would allow Christ to do the work that only he can do in you, and then be faithful and obedient to doing the work that he is calling you to do in this neighborhood and in this world. And it only happens through a body of believers. Yeah. So I want to end my time of reflection by acknowledging the beauty and the tapestry and the interconnectedness of all of us. And so if you would humor me for a moment, God has been writing a story, and he's writing a future. And you are all part of both of those things. And so if you have been part of his church for more than 60 years, would you please stand up? Would you please stand up? Please stand up. Nancy, Dylan, come on. Come on. As you stand, would you please stay standing? If you've been part of this church for more than 40 years, would you please stand up? Please stand up. Come on, God. Awesome. Come on. So good. If you've been part of this church for more than 20 years, would you please stand up? 20 years, would you please stand up? Alright, so we're going to change the mount a little bit. Stay standing, please. If you've been part of this church for 13 years, also known as the days of Mosaic San Diego being birthed, or coming to North Park Baptist in the last 13 years, would you stand up? Stand up. And if you showed up somewhere in the last 6 or 7 years or greater than at the time of Baker's becoming a thing, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Stand up. And if you were part of this church now leading up to the time of Emerge, you were here at some point before the time of Emerge 2019, would you stand up? Would you stand up? And a bunch of you are kind of with me. And you started here on the other side of the merch post-2019, would you please stand up? And the rest of you, if today is your first Sunday, one more time, would you please stand up? And at this point, we would hope that everybody's standing, and I'm going to invite Raheem to the stage, and Pastor Grimm, and Pastor Rob, the band, you can start filling in, and we're going to do something that we inherited from North Park Baptist Church. And if you would, if you would grab the hands of the person next to you, we're going to, in a moment, we're going to sing the doxology, which is a uniting moment for us as a church. I'm going to read this over you. As you do this, Ephesians 4, it says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." And I want you to hear this for a moment. You are holding the hand of one of those. Every single one of you has been gifted by God to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. For what? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And I want to end with these words. "Therefore, we will no longer be infants." When you're a 100-year-old church, you're no longer an infant, tossed back and forth by the waves. You can be blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then you can hear between these two gentlemen right here. And if you guys don't know, this is Pastor Glenn and Pastor Rob. These are the guys. This is Pastor Glenn. So this is Pastor Glenn. And Raheem, I need you to lead us, brother.
One, two, three. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes.
Hey, the band is going to lead us through another song, and this is a special moment that we truly ask that every single one of you participate in. You can stand or sit. We decided that we would commemorate a 100-year art piece, that we commissioned a piece of art that would live in our building on the other side of the renovation for 100 years. And we reached out to one of our favorite artists in town, Johnny Allen, and this is going to be a beautiful piece that takes what you do now and kind of bakes it into your armor. So on your seats, you have a pen and a field guide, and if you need a steal one from somebody next to you or find one from a different seat, there are just these little card stops. And what we're asking you to do during this next song, and if you have a little bit of time to breathe, you can sit and stand. But what we're asking you to do is write your name, the year that you started coming here and participating in the life of this church. And write down what your vision is, what your hope is, for the impact that our church will make over the next 100 years. Now remember, this is going to be integrated and interconnected into this beautiful piece of art that will live in this building as time goes by. And you'll have its own kind of staying power and a lot of your thoughts and hopes and name on it. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, that would be really special for us. And after the song, we'll let the pastor share.
Here. I was just leading worship and I was a volunteer. And where I not only got to discover who I was, but I got to rediscover as an adult, like, who God is, who God would be to me. It was a place that gave me a vision not only for my life, but just a vision of something beyond what I could ever hope or imagine. And it was so evident if you look at the story of my life in the church, that this is all part of God's bigger plan. Right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you."
Thank you.
like make investments in things that we don't see the immediate fruit of. And my therapist said to me something that I think is probably one of the most profound things I've ever heard.
I said,
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.